today.
We should talk about Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees. Now, there's two types of devotees. Devotees that we read about in scripture. They're all perfect and they do everything right. And then there's us. Okay, and we struggle. And sometimes we look at scripture and we think, Krishna seems to reciprocate with his pure devotees very nicely, but where do I figure? Where do I figure? Will Krishna reciprocate with me? When I pray to Krishna, is he even listening? If I ask for something, is he giving? Will it happen? How do I figure in all this? Sometimes we try to place ourselves. And sometimes we get very lonely thinking Krishna doesn't seem to be coming through for me. Well, fear not. This verse might help you. So this is a verse after a verse which talks about people praying to demigods. And the explanation is that demigods, says Krishna, are my own body. So they're praying to me, but they're praying to one of my limbs. That's all right. But just understand, I may not give them exactly what they want, but I'll give them what they need. Okay, so that's this verse. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee. You're very keen this morning. Who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. So there's a man praying to God. He says, my dear God, can I ask you two questions? God says, yes. And he says, I've always wondered, what is eternity to you? And he says, it is just like a minute. He says, what is 100 million pounds to you? He says, it's just a penny. My dear Lord, yes. Can I ask you for something? Yes. Could I ask you for a penny? God says, yes. I will give this to you. He said, oh, good. Finally, I will be rich. He says, just a minute. So you may get what you wish for, but it may come after some time. And the whole verse and purport is about this phenomenon that Krishna will reciprocate with you in your deepest desires, but it may take some time and it may come in a different form. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives, but this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is freed from all material desires, full of desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. Prabhupada continues the purport. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Hallelujah. The day will come. One who engages himself in the service of the Lord with some motive is called a Sakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta, a pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.22. Who knows 6.22? Well, you're reading off the purport. So, altogether, yang labdva cha param labham manyate nadikam tata. If one engages in the service of the feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind, even to a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally he became an Akama Bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin Kritarato Smi Varangnanya Che. My dear Lord, I'm very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:37-39 and 41 as follows. So, Prabhupada is so keen on us understanding this principle that he veers off from his purport and gives an extended extract from the purport to a Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the Lord. Yadi kari krishne rabhajan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, na magite ha krishna tare tenasva charan. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says, Amabhaje, he is engaged in my service, Mage Vishaya Sukha, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Sound like anybody you know? Anybody? Yeah. Yes. A few fingers pointing at that. Yes, we are all in this category. Let me just say, I'm in this category. Amrita Chari Vishamage. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. Ebara Murka. That is his foolishness. Now, this is a very important statement here, and it's almost humorous. Ami Vigya, Krishna says, but I am experienced. I am experienced, says Krishna. I know what they need. I've been looking after these type of children for a long time. I know when they cry like this, what they actually need. E murke vishaya kene diba. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Swacharanamrita. Swacharanamrita. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Vishaya bulaiba. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kamalagi Krishna Bhaji. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, Pai Krishna Rase, the result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama Chari Das Hoite Hoi Abilase Lashe. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. Ama Gyana Tamarandasya. Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshura Militam Jena Dasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So reciprocation, dictionary definition, is the fact or feeling or behaving towards someone else in the same way as they feel or behave towards you. Okay. Krishna is very reciprocal, and he tells us that he's reciprocal. He says, this is the verse that convinced me that the Hare Krishnas were onto something, because I had gone to different people, and I wanted to know, does every spiritual group say our way is the only way and all the others are schmucks? I wanted to know if the Hare Krishnas say that their way is the only way and everybody else is wrong, then I would know that they're just like everybody else. But they told me, Krishna says, as everybody surrenders to me, I reward them accordingly. And that convinced me. I thought, yes, I will listen to a bit more. So I listened to a bit more and a bit more and a bit more, and here I am today, still hanging on. It takes a lot of convincing, doesn't it, to bring us to Krishna's lotus feet. But Krishna says, Yayatamam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyam. So he responds to us. But when we look at scripture, we find Krishna responds in a wonderful way to Sudama the Brahmin. Okay, Sudama comes to the Lord, little chip rice goes home, and his house is transformed. Well, I've offered Krishna Rajbhog for many years. I always come back to my house is always the same. I never get that extension. I never get that new kitchen. Krishna, at least you reciprocated with Sudama for a few grains of rice. I've been cooking you Rajbhog. Could you not arrange something at least? Or I've been struggling with a bad back for a long time. Long time, bad back. No, it's like a crocodile biting me. My Lord, you came and you solved the problem for Gajendra. Can you not solve a small problem like a bad back? Okay, so we may think of that. Or I have this difficult problem. I have these people. I have a vindictive boss. My co-workers all hate me. I have to work at this company because I have to pay the mortgage. My dear Lord, you came through for Draupadi. And you protected her. Will you protect me? Silence. Well, how does Krishna reciprocate then? How will I feel Krishna's reciprocation in my life? And it's important for us, isn't it? The idea of God as a static, yet benign, distant figure is one that many religions teach. But ours, of course, we share a dynamic relationship. That a devotee can enter into a dynamic relationship in which he or she feels the presence of the Lord in their life and sees miracles. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said, it is difficult to keep a person simply with dry philosophy. If we only have philosophy, that is very dry existence for us. We need to feel Krishna's presence. And the fact that we do from time to time is what keeps us from drifting away to other things. But what about those long periods when we don't feel Krishna's presence, when we do things out of duty? So Krishna seems to reciprocate with everybody. He reciprocates even with Shishupal. Even Shishupal, even though he was removed from the scene in quite a spectacular way, still his soul merged with the Lord's Brahmajyoti. At least that's something. I would settle for that, says a devotee, except anything apart from this silence. So Krishna reciprocates with ordinary devotees according to the sincerity of our heart. It is not required that we wear any special clothing, although we do. There's no clothing restriction in Krishna's reciprocation. There's no ritualistic or ceremonial limitation. You don't have to perform rituals or ceremonies. There's a very sincerity of something that cuts through everything. Can you name me some examples of Krishna reciprocating with someone who doesn't seem to be fully qualified in the ritualistic direction or ceremonial? He just reaches down and pulls that person up. Govinda, you got it on the tip of your tongue.
The wives of the Brahmins.
The wives of the Brahmins, yes. The wives of the Brahmins. Now, in our movement, if you say the wife of a Brahmin, you automatically presume that she knows a lot of shlokas and she's a devotee. But in those days, the wife of the Brahmin was a way of saying she was not a Brahmin. She was a Brahmani, but she would not have gone to Gurukula traditionally. She would not have known any verses. So does reciprocation from Krishna depend on verses? Apparently not. Because the wives of the Brahmins were verseless. But they came to Krishna and they fed Krishna. And he reciprocated. Anybody else? Oh, Kubja. How is she qualified? She's qualified in another way, but that's not traditionally the way we get Krishna's attention. She simply had that sincere desire to please the Lord, didn't she? Interesting. And Krishna reciprocated with that. Of course, Krishna enters Mathura, and there's a lot of reciprocation of different types, isn't there? What happened to the flower seller? Did he know any verses? Did he perform any rituals, any ceremonies? Was he dressed in a dhoti and tilak? I think not. But Krishna reciprocated with him, promised him. Krishna also reciprocated with the cloth seller. How did he reciprocate with him? Ladies, how does Krishna reciprocate with the cloth seller? Huh? Am I getting it wrong? Oh, it's a washerman. I knew it was cloth somewhere. The washerman had a reciprocation. Krishna reciprocated in equal measure. As they surrender to me, I'll reward them. Okay. So this principle is there. Krishna's very fair. How does Krishna's reciprocation come? Krishna reciprocates by guiding us, guiding the devotee. So we'll have a thought and we'll make a choice. And that contributes to our character formation. So from the super soul on the inside, we receive direction. And from the super soul on the outside, namely the Vaishnava, we receive direction. So in this way, Krishna zigzags us back to his lotus feet. Inside super soul, outside super soul as Guru, Vaishnava. True. He zigzags. It's a zigzag path. So if we don't hear, we're normally not attuned. What brahmanical qualification will do, what meditation will do, is it convinces you that you need to sit down and listen sometimes. If your life is very noisy with material voices, I've got to get this, I've got to get that. As soon as you wake up in the morning, your life is a shopping list of what you have to do that day. Planning. I have to go here, I have to go there. I have to buy this, I have to buy that. Then where is the time for you to listen to the super soul? He wants to get a message through. Maybe we'll do it through the mouth of the devotee. I know in my life, I stand here alive, which is a very good position to be in, to be alive. But I'm alive because Krishna motioned a devotee to do something in my life. I'm fully convinced that Krishna acts as an instrument, or using the devotees as an instrument. So therefore, when a devotee comes to you and says something, and certainly when three Brahmins come to you and say the same thing, in Prabhupada say, three Brahmins come to you and say the same thing, you should know that is the super soul causing these voices to come to you on the outside. And the old stories of the man who was drowning in the flood, and the boat came, he said, no, the Lord will save me. The water came up to his bedroom window. He said, no, I prayed to the Lord. I know he will send me. He went up to the roof. He was sitting on the roof. A helicopter came by. And he said, get on board, otherwise you'll be washed away. He said, I have prayed to the Lord, and I know that the Lord will save me. He drowned. And when he sees the Lord, he said, Lord, I prayed to you. What happened? He said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want? The point is, the Krishna comes, he reciprocates through the Vaishnavas, through different events. Krishna reciprocates by removing obstacles. Sometimes you may not know that an obstacle has been removed. Yeah. Sometimes it may come in disguise. Sometimes you'll miss that airplane, or you'll miss that boat, or you'll miss that lift. But after you miss, you'll think, Krishna is not protecting me. But you'll meet someone else that will help you in a different way. Your life will go in a different way. And Krishna grants spiritual progress. Spiritual progress is meaning that you find in yourself a new attraction to Krishna in a different way. I've always experienced in my life that there's a constant, Krishna is known as Navayovana, ever fresh, and that Krishna comes to us with ever fresh understandings. Something that you missed before, a purport that you read three times, now you're reading it again. Suddenly, something jumps out as if it's struck with bright yellow marker pen. Why did I miss that before? How did I miss that? That's just the thing that I need. You know, we distribute a lot of books. One man was using Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita to bet on the horses. He was just opening the Bhagavad Gita at a random page. And on that page, he would take a word or a sentence or a phrase or just the number of the page. He would just close his eyes, open the Bhagavad Gita. And he would bet on the horse. So he's using the Bhagavad Gita for gambling inspiration. I said, did it work? He said, oh yeah, it was really good. This is not the way that you should use purports. Now the purports are meant to bring out the meaning of the verse, and the verse's meaning. Sometimes, isn't it, Maharaj, you come to a purport and it's just the right purport that you need to read. So keep reading. Keep reading and you'll get to write the right instruction. There's a wonderful correlation between your reading and what a devotee may be talking about. In some weeks, three times in a class, a conversation, and in personal reading, confirmation of a difficult point that I was trying to understand. It's amazing. And I put that down to reciprocation. But for reciprocation to be noticed, you have to be sensitive. Do not be dull-brained. It will come. It's always coming. But you have to be very sensitive. Just like you're inside the house and you're waiting for a letter to come. If you're not sensitive to the sound of the letterbox, letterbox? Letter flap? What's it called? You know, in the old days when people used to send letters. Yeah, if you're not sensitive to it, it may not come. People say these days, they say, but I sent you three texts. Oh yeah, I must have had my phone switched off. Well, don't switch your phone off then. People may try to communicate with you. My wife is always trying to communicate with me. I rang you three times. Three times seems to be the permissible limit of her tolerance. Three times. I rang you twice, that may get her sort of a dry look. But if three times gets an explosion, and some hand gestures. I phoned you three times. My phone was off. My phone was off, to me, seems a perfectly logical explanation. The phone was off, therefore you couldn't get through. To her, that's a stupid explanation. Why don't you just keep your phone on? So in the same way, Krishna can send us a message, an inspiration, a devotee, a purport, three times. Don't keep your mind switched off. Be very sensitive to it. Then, what else? Krishna comes as blessings through your attraction to kirtan. And so I'm often dealing with devotees who don't get the morning kirtan like we do. You know, they're at home and the only kirtan they get is the sound of their own voice. A lot of people like that. I blame the book distributors. Those book distributors are really bad people. You know why? They go everywhere and sell books. Confirmation. They go everywhere and they sell books. And people, you know what the problem is? People read the books. That's a big problem. We should wrap our books in a wrapper that says, do not read. It's like when they put out the George Harrison Hare Krishna mantra record. Each one came with a little piece of paper that said, warning, chanting this mantra over and over can lead to a state of ecstasy. Be very careful how you chant the mantra. Okay, there's a warning in everything. And of course, what do people do? Especially young people. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. My two friends were, when I was 14, 13, I was 13. And they closed the door of the classroom on me during the break. I said, I was banging on the classroom. I said, what are you doing in there? What are you doing? They said, stay away. I came back afterwards. I said, what were you doing? Why didn't you let me in? They said, we were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I said, did it work? They said, no. I said, how long did you chant for? They said, we chanted for at least 2 minutes. Well, 13-year-old friends, I've got news for you. I've now been chanting 51 years. Keep going. Keep going. So spiritual advancement enhances our taste for the holy name and may bring us the holy name almost by accident, apparently. Apparent coincidences. I was doing a program in a house in Florida, and after the did the kirtan, did the class, everything, ha ha ha, he he he, very good class, thank you very much, come again, I'm only here for a week. Man came up to me, and he was in his 50s, and I said to him, I said, what do you do? I always ask people what they do for a living. It's very helpful for me. I find Krishna reciprocates through people telling me about their life. I was a bit nervous about flying on planes, and I sat next to a man. I said, what's your name? He said, Frank. I said, what do you do for a living, Frank? He said, oh, I'm an air crash investigator. Out of the 300 people on the plane, I was sitting next to an air crash investigator. Anyway, thank you, my dear Lord. So I said to this person, I said, oh, what do you do for a living? He said, oh, I'm a yoga teacher. Said, oh, that's interesting. How long have you been teaching yoga? 30 years. 30 years. I said, where do you teach yoga? He said, all over the United States. I fly. 3 times a week I fly to different places. I said, oh, so you must have known about the Hare Krishnas for a long time. You must have met them in airports. If you go in 3 airports... a week, twice, that's 6 possible occasions where you could meet a book distributor. You must have got a book. He said, let me tell you, I never got 1 book about Krishna consciousness, ever. And I'm 53 years old. Never, ever. And I've been teaching yoga for 30 years. Never did I meet a devotee. I said, what about now? He said, well, since I became interested, I meet them all the time. Since I became interested, I meet them all the time. Isn't it just the same? I meet many people like that. As soon as we develop a little interest in Krishna, Krishna does not let us go. We sometimes think, let me just skip a little bit here. We have different stages that we pass through as devotees, and I thought that it would be interesting to see how Krishna reciprocates in these different stages. That in Shraddha, our initial faith, spark of interest in Krishna, results in more curiosity. And Krishna arranges circumstances that match our level of interest. He nourishes our faith, and sends a devotee to a person who can speak a little bit more. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, if a devotee is not genuinely interested in Krishna, then Maya can send a teacher of Krishna consciousness. How about that? Maya herself can send a guru. Wow. If a genuinely interested in Krishna, Krishna sends a genuine guru. And there are many people. It's interesting now that many of our new devotees, and I blame it on the book distributors, Many people are reading one or two books about Krishna consciousness and developing their own philosophy. And they're sort of developing, you know, they're taking Prabhupada's purports and merging them with, you know, the secret or, you know, Buddhism. Because it's all the same anyway, isn't it? There's many, many paths up the mountain and it's all the same. It's just like the other day I was in an airport with my wife. And I was just queuing up, and then we were just about to get on the plane. And she said, "Look, look up." I looked up and said, "This plane's going to Ethiopia." Which Mahaprasad Govinda would have been good for you. I could have phoned you up. Yeah. So all paths lead to the same place. Well, no, they don't. Not at a train station, not at an airport, and not on the M1. So where do all the paths lead to the same place? They never do. So sometimes people are merging, and so now we have a lot of Krishna philosophies out there, a lot of different things passing, and a lot of different people are talking to a lot of different people, and so it's forming a patchwork of thinly understood Krishna bhakti. I just want to put that out there, in which there are many different ideas. Unfortunately, gone are the days when Krishna bhakti was a new concept. Now Krishna bhakti is everywhere, and we will have to unpack a person's understanding before they can feel this reciprocation from Krishna. It's a very, very big movement. I was just in Switzerland. It's a very big movement in Germany, I was informed of. Krishna bhakti movement in Germany, you might say. And sometimes our devotees are leaving ISKCON to join this bhakti movement. And devotees are saying, "What can we do? What can we do?" I said, "Well, you could try reading the books. Try reading Prabhupada's books and understanding them." And then the mixtures of Krishna consciousness will not tempt you. So this perception that Krishna is reciprocating with my desire to know about him. In the beginning stages, this will hardly even be noticed. Hardly even be noticed. Sadhu Sangha, we get different kinds of devotees. Bhajana Kriya, in Bhajana Kriya, Krishna's reciprocation is that he may provide tests, adjustments, remove obstacles, and sometimes let you struggle in order to purify yourself. Just like that butterfly, when the butterfly is ready to emerge from the chrysalis, if you give the butterfly a pull, the butterfly will die. If the butterfly struggles to come out of the chrysalis, then its little heart starts pumping and its lungs start going, and it will live. So the struggle is good at the Bhajana Kriya stage. It's good. So Krishna needs you to struggle. Okay. It's not that the child is struggling to walk, and every time the child falls over, you pick it up. But my child will never touch the floor again. Because last time I put him on the floor, he tried to walk and he fell over. So therefore, I will never, ever let his feet touch the ground. I will carry him everywhere. The child is 21, still in a wheelchair. Okay, because you didn't let him struggle. So Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father, Krishna is our best friend. He allows us to struggle. How long will that struggle go on? Well, perhaps it's a feature of spiritual life all the way through. Removal of unwanted habits. This is where we have a cleansing of our material attachments. This is the point at which you may ask for something, and Krishna says, "I can give that to you, but I do not want to give you something which will get you asking me for more. So let me deny that to you so that you'll purify yourself from this desire." In Nishtha, Krishna allows us to become deeply absorbed without disturbance, making his presence more tangible. In Ruchi, Krishna begins to personally charm the devotee's heart, pulling him ever more. I never knew that I was actually attracted to Krishna. Somehow or another, I see what I didn't see before. Isn't it like that? I see what I didn't see before. It's like that in an ordinary relationship. And it's like that with Krishna. I see something in him that I didn't see before. Anyway, we go on. When Krishna is fully reciprocating with us, then the ecstasy begins. So, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yogakshema bahamyaham. This word, bahami means I carry to them what they lack, not I arrange. So this gentleman, he was thinking, Krishna says I carry to them what they lack. I'm a very poor devotee. It's obvious that Krishna does not personally carry and will not personally carry what I require. So let me strike out this word, Vahami. Strike it out. And of course, Krishna personally came to him and brought everything that he needed. The only time I had an experience like that was I was really praying to Krishna. I was in Africa. There's one for you, Mahaprabhu. I was in Mombasa. And you know, these are the days when the GBC, those people, the GBC, they could send you anywhere in the world. Prabhupada had done that, send a devotee out for, as a pioneer, and you would land at the airport with absolutely nothing. Mombasa was a little house, and there was, you know, I was a replacement for the other people that had left. So there's me and one other boy. And I thought, I can't do this. How is Krishna going to even reciprocate with me here? And so I prayed. Krishna. Actually, I was praying, Krishna, get me out of here. But and it was a tropical paradise. You see the holiday brochures with the beautiful white sand and the turquoise blue sea, and it's always warm. And there's coconut palms hissing on the breeze, and the smell of champak flowers everywhere. I was there, praying, Krishna, get me out of here. So I was going, and I was having no success, local Indian population. I was doing something wrong or saying something wrong. Anyway, I got into a conversation with one man, and I said, look, I said, is there anything I can help you with? In other words, I stopped trying to ask people for donations, and I started saying, can I maybe be an agent of Krishna here? I said, what are your problems? Is there anything I can help you with? He said, well, I want to send my children to school, but there's... I said, what's the problem? He said, well, the schools around here are not very good. I said, why don't you start your own school? I said to him, why don't you start your own school? He said, could I start my own school? I said, of course you can. You get together with some business people and start your own school. He said, oh, I'll think about that. I said, yeah, think about it. Okay, and then I went on to the next person. 3 months later, this man had got together with his business friends, and we had 6 acres and a school building and a long driveway with freshly planted coconut palm trees. I felt like Sudama. And in Nairobi we had a little bungalow, and I went back a few years ago, and Nairobi is like a huge, huge big palace now, with huge 10 feet tall giant Vijay outside the gate. I thought, from a little tiny house, boom, like that. So Krishna does reciprocate, but he may not reciprocate in the way that you want. Krishna has his own plans. After all, he says, I am experienced. I'm experienced. I know what you want. And to see Prabhupada, he came with nothing, literally nothing. And to see the difference between 1966, 1965, and 1977, the difference in Prabhupada's. People are now writing in books about business entrepreneurs that started late in life. They're using Prabhupada's life as an example. Someone who came with nothing, ended with everything, and whose movement has continued on. in an amazing way, because Krishna reciprocates in very surprising ways. Anyway, I think I should finish there. We have time for one or two questions for the people who are not going to be hungry. I had so much to say, so many things to tell you. In the highest state, Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he says it is shocking. He uses the word shocking reversal, because Krishna reciprocates with his devotee. He says, tongues to taiva bhajamiham, and Jiva Goswami comments, here bhajami means I serve them. A shocking reversal where the Supreme Lord becomes the servant of his devotee's love. Anyway, many things. But any points before we depart? Anything to add, Maharaj? Yeah, please. Question.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. On one hand, we should see Krishna reciprocating within our lives and being active and arranging things and responding to us, our prayers, our desires. But on the other hand, it seems a little like presumptuous to kind of start thinking like that, yeah, Krishna is acting in my life, he's, who am I? Like, it seems like there's two sides where a devotee should see that Krishna is acting in their life, and there's another side where the devotee kind of feels like very humble, very insignificant, very unimportant, that, you know, why would Krishna, you know, why do I think I'm so important that Krishna would? So sometimes it feels like those two are like in conflict. Like, we should see Krishna, but then we shouldn't feel that we're anything great that Krishna would.
Yeah. When I first joined the devotees, there was a big big concert in Hyde Park, and we were going out to do Harinam and do books and everything, and it looked as if it was going to rain, and we really wanted to, because it was, the crowds were huge, 40,000 people or something, and so the devotees were praying to Krishna that it didn't rain, and it didn't rain. And afterwards the devotee said, Krishna's arrangement, Krishna heard our prayers. I thought, I was young and skeptical at that point, and I said, not too sure about that. But the Krishna changes the weather just for one prayer. I wasn't too sure about that. So sometimes if we think, oh, Krishna has made this arrangement for me, and we're still somewhat materially attached to seeing proof of Krishna's arrangement, as we absolutely demand proof before we will believe or before we will have trust. And sometimes that can work against us because we're looking in the wrong direction. So that can act as an obstacle. So patience is also required for devotees. At the same time, our faith needs to be nurtured. So we need to look for small incidents of inspiration. I mean, I deal a lot with people that are just on the edge. They may give up Krishna consciousness if they don't see proof, you know. It was like this, I forget who he was, in the Bible. He said, Lord, if you are there, he said, make the sheepskin wet with dew and everywhere dry. And in the morning, it was so. And then he said to the Lord, my dear Lord, if you're really there, prove it tomorrow by making the sheepskin dry and everywhere else wet. And it was so. And then he felt trust. But our trust has to be that of a baby. little kitten, and that we can trust, because we know nothing else. We know trust. A baby has trust in its mother because there is nothing else. Baby has no knowledge of anything else. So a pure devotee trusts in that way, that whether this happens or whether that happens, I will still trust. But in the beginning we can demand, you know, like the angry child, you know, you told me that you would do this for me and you didn't do it. You said it was going to be like this. You said Krishna consciousness was going to be ecstasy all the time. You know, you said chant and be happy. What happened? I'm chanting, but I'm not happy. Yeah. So patience is also required. Meanwhile, give Krishna enough time to say that he's, you know, he's making arrangements. And maybe the right time has not yet come for you to see that. So yes, we tend to... one danger is, of course, the sahaja element is that, you know, Krishna came through for me in such a way that I feel his ecstasy at every moment. I talked to one gentleman one time. I said, do you feel Krishna's presence? He said, oh yes, I feel Krishna's presence. All I have to do is sit, and immediately I'm in samadhi. I'm gone. Okay. One night I saw Krishna and he came and he played his flute in my bedroom. Okay. So sometimes like that. But that is the absolute insistence. That's also lack of faith. Lack of faith is that you demand that everything appears to be a substantiation of your small amount of faith. So we interpret everything, but we interpret it wrongly. But how to get inner confirmation, that will come. Didn't really answer the question though, did I? It's like being balanced between both the extremes. That's why we need guru. That's why we need senior. That's why the path of Krishna bhakti is never a path where you don't have someone to say, this is correct, you're thinking. No, you're thinking like this, that's not quite correct. Path of Krishna bhakti is always like that. Therefore, I tell every single devotee, you must have a person in your life who's helping you, a person in your life that you're helping, and just friends. Three types of person. Otherwise, the purports won't be enough. You need to understand that the purport says that you have to come into Vaishnava Sangha. So therefore, as quickly as possible, we need a nationwide network of caregivers. And isn't it, Prabhupada said it's like the man who's making a pot, he makes the pot by making a fist, one side of the sheet of metal, and tapping it the other side. If there's no fist, no pot. If there's no tapping, no pot. So both things are required. So the Vaishnava Sangha means I get my support, my emotional support, my physical support, my words of endorsement, my faith-building classes, but I also get the taps. This is how we move forward. So we always need a person in our life who's able to do that. Like the airplane or the boat. The airplane gets from A to B by zigzagging. You know that expression. The boat gets from A to B, from London to New York, by zigzagging, tacking, going this way, going that way. In that way we are fashioned as devotees. So there's always these two extremes, faith building and then faith correction. Faith building and faith correction. Faith building and faith correction. Okay. So both things are required. The dissolving of artificial faith and the replenishment of real faith. Hare Krishna. Better let you go. Yes, madam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank Hare you Krishna. So much for the class. And thank you so much for asking that question, Maharaj. So my question was, can you advise on how we can be more receptive to understand Krishna's reciprocation?
More receptive. Maharaj, what would you say? More receptive. Well, I would say don't be dull. Don't be a dull person. And don't be a stupid person. That's my best advice. The world is filled with stupid people, actually. Insensitive, unresponsive people. Don't be one of them. How can you refine your sensitivity? Learning to listen. And when you hear something from Prabhupada in a purport or a class, make sure you understand that this purport isn't just a dull purport, a static purport in ink on paper. There may be something in this for me. If I listen carefully, there might be something that I personally need in my life. So this awareness, this extra investment in hearing, will be the difference between blah, 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 and a message that you absolutely need in your life. That's one thing, I think. So it's active listening, dynamic listening.
So maybe like when we're more like the guru, the Vaishnavas, the Shastra helps us to actually see how Krishna is acting in our life and how Krishna is reciprocating and what Krishna is trying to tell us. Or so maybe that's also something which helps to amplify the presence of Krishna in our life.
Yeah. So if you read something or hear something, then in the same week somebody says something to you which is very much like that, then you have an activity and that serves to reinforce what you were. These faith-building messages come often in response to an area of faith that we've not yet cultivated. It might be trust, it might be faith in a particular aspect of philosophy, theology. It might be faith in a particular practice, faith in a particular book, faith in a particular person. Many is the time when, in my infinite wisdom, I have labeled every other devotee in a temple. I've labeled everybody, you know, useful, maybe useful, not so useful. You know, faith builder, faith destroyer, you know, interesting person, boring person. You know, I go through life labeling people. I'm old, it's time for mass confessions. And so Krishna has often worked in such a way to show me, hello, don't label anybody. You might be surprised how I can use them. And that person who I've thought was boring or uninteresting has said something and has acted as a messenger of just what I needed to hear on just the right week. And I don't think I would have survived as a devotee for half a century without constant, you know. Do you ever play those pinball machines? The ball comes out and it goes ding, 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 ding. So I'm that ball. And every time the ding is a devotee that says something that makes sense. Ding, 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 ding. And faith is building all the time. But you have to put yourself in the company of devotees. And the difficulty is if you label all the devotees, you'll only stick with the ones that reinforce your existing level of faith. if you're never challenged by the presence of someone that you wouldn't normally mix with, then your faith remains as it is. And you can do that. You can coast for a long time. You can set the cruise control. Your spiritual life, you can cruise for a long time, isn't it? It's like one of those roads in Arizona or something, you know, it's just a long straight road to the distance. You set the cruise control, have a cup of tea. Spiritual life can sometimes be like that, but if you put yourself on the edge, like Mahaprasad Govinda here, going to Africa, setting himself up as the key figure in a resurgence, a renaissance of book distribution in Africa, opening a center in Ethiopia, for God's sake. Ethiopia. Is there enough religion in Ethiopia? That's the point. Difference between here and Africa is that here in Britain, nobody believes in God. In Africa, everybody believes in God. And so to get the message of Krishna consciousness, you have to be very creative and thoughtful and sensitive to where they're already, you know, their faith has already been building in their life. So, Mahaprasad, have you had more realizations about the way Krishna reciprocates with you after you've taken up this service?
Yes.
Yeah, don't let me down. I've set you up now. Don't let me down.
In so many different ways, yes. I mean, you mentioned Ethiopia. I mean, I've been working in that country for the last 3-4 years. It's been a hard struggle, but it's only in the last couple of months where we saw the result, Krishna reciprocating in a big way. After that, we built a relationship with the ambassador. The ambassador was very keen supporters. He managed to allocate the Heritage Center building within the embassy. We asked him if he can give us the hall to use it as our center. The answer was yes. And it took us a month to build it, you know, to paint it, to put the PA system, the altar. And after a month, we managed to add a program. We were expecting 70, 80 people. 220 people came for that program. That's reciprocation, Krishna reciprocating after so many years of working very hard. And then 2 weeks later, we decided to have the first Rath Yatra festival within the embassy. Because we couldn't do it in the city. So again, Krishna reciprocated. You know, we had 375 people attending. Wow. So you can see Krishna sometimes, you know, he makes us wait for a while. He makes us endeavor for quite a while. But eventually the reward is always there. So, yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity.
I met a man here in this room. He's an old man. I was at a wedding, and he'd come to the wedding, and I said, so what, he was a European, and says, what do you do for a living? Again, what do you do for a living? Is there something Krishna can say to me through this person? I said, I'm an inventor, science. I said, what did you invent? He said, oh, I invented the touch screen. I said, what? The touch screen? Yes. He said, that's what I invented. So I said, what did you do then? He said, well, I sold it to Apple. I said, oh. So what do you do now? He said, I do spiritual things. I do yoga. I make juice. I'm very busy. Anyway, but in order to get to the invention of the touchscreen, which now is sort of everybody uses, he failed. He failed many, many times. Many, many times in his struggles. He'd struggled, 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 and eventually it came through. You know, the elephant Gajendra, he struggled and struggled and struggled. I'm sure halfway through he thought, you know, where is God? Where is God? Where is God when you need him? Maybe such thoughts came to him, I don't know. But eventually Krishna came, and Krishna came at just the right time. So sometimes Krishna comes at the right time. On the same week as I met this gentleman, I met the head of Nokia phones. And I said, oh, I met such and such this week. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, he went like this. He said, yeah. we lost millions and millions and millions because we refused that. The idea came to us and we refused it. Because somebody said that women would not like to use the touch screen because the powder on their cheeks would come off on the glass. So he says, so we turned it down. And he said, he was the head of Nokia. So he said, I live in complete regret that I ever did such a thing. Turned it down. So that was in the same week. So what was I to learn from that? I was to learn from that, you know, just keep going. Keep going. Because he who keeps going will eventually win the day. Even Winston Churchill, he said, if you think you're going through hell, keep going. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Kripa Mahaprabhu ki jai.